Okay, we are at the superintendent's report.
Okay, and to make up for my shortcomings as a gift giver at Christmas, I do have something we would like to give to the board. We were able to get a huge discount by ordering in bulk, and we have the new logo, and so each of the staff members, and we're giving them to the nominees for Teacher of the Year at the banquet tomorrow night. So these are coming in. So we have one of these for each one of you.
All right.
And we let Ron get out without it, but we'll make sure. Don, if you don't mind taking them when they open.
That's great. Thank you.
I love that.
See, and you said you didn't get paid for being on this. You're getting a gym bag with a logo on it.
I think this is great.
No, I will
it
be
is.
Organized.
It'll take more than this to get me one.
And also speaking, we'll make sure that Reese gets a copy of this too, but I think there's tomorrow night at the banquet, we'll acknowledge some of the award, and that's front and back, by the way. We'll acknowledge some of the awards over the year that we know of that schools have gotten. And I think you just, I sent you an update that Green Charter School has received a national Energy Education Development Award as School of the Year in South Carolina.
Oh, wow.
And by the way, one of the schools on the list is not a replication, but the green schools moving into Columbia area.
Oh, really?
To start a school.
But it's not connected with them?
It's connected. It's not a replication, okay. But it's an engineering type school, so it is affiliated with what they're trying to do from the science and math point of view.
But these people aren't managing it?
No. It would be a separate board doing that. Okay, so that's just for your information. And let me have a couple more things just to mention. But going over this list of schools that you received, I will point out that Oceanside Collegiate, we've been told that they may withdraw and go through South Carolina State. However, I reminded them that the entire board for South Carolina State has been replaced, and the new board has no idea that they are an authorizer and will be approving charter schools. Now, I did contact South Carolina State to ask them if, since we haven't heard from them, if they had any applications, and they said no, not as far as they knew. So I don't know what's going on, but I mentioned that for one other reason, too. Felton Lab is the only school approved by South Carolina State. It is possible that South Carolina State will lose their ability to be an authorizer, or the new board may choose not to be an authorizer of charter schools. We don't know where that's going to go, but there is a possibility in the fall that Felton Lab will come and ask to transfer into our district. So just giving you a heads up. We'll certainly look at all the data relative to their performance right now. Of the 21 schools, I have no idea how many of them will actually submit applications. But June 1st is the first deadline. Because the legislative year doesn't set a deadline, I did give anybody who was applying the option of asking for up to a two-week delay. And you see that one, two, three, four, five. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I thought we had six, but it was five. Oh, that one we never heard from officially. One said they might ask for. So the ones that have the 614 to 622, that's when we've given them permission to turn in their application. We are putting together a staff review team with one outside person on that screening team. We have 10 days, according to our compliant, It's not, we don't call it compliance.
Application timeline.
We have 10 days to review that and see if the application merits being forwarded to the board.
Okay.
If it has typos, misalignment, missing sections, then we're going to send it back to them and tell them that we're not forwarding, and they understand that. We made that part of our technical assistance workshop with the State Department to go over that. So my guess is that we would have probably 12 or 13, 14 maybe applicants turned in. I would bet half of those will be screened out that you'll never see. And we'll tell them to come back in February based on, you know, as I've gone back and reread applications when things have come up, I can't believe some of those that we let through early on with that. And I hopefully will never, we've got a compliance ladder that's a lot better shape than we did in the past. So I've met with probably half of these at some time during the last 6 to 8 months. But some of these I haven't heard from at all. And so we have no idea what we're going to get in from them. And
quick question.
Okay.
I just looked at this one, and it rings a bell for some reason. The Mather Pro Charter School, have they been in the hopper before?
They've submitted various letters of intent over time, but I don't believe they've ever actually applied.
Yeah, a couple of these pulled out early last year.
Maybe that was the case.
Yeah.
Just
oh, and by the way, you notice they are a STEAM, that's not a typo.
I know.
STEAM, they are arts and agriculture, those DAs there. So it is interesting, and what does worry me a little bit is that STEAM seems to be a buzzword now.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if these applicants really understand what they're charged with doing or what they say they're...
Well,
yes, they got Edison on board.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. That's, yeah, yes, they got Edison on board.
The buzzword thing, isn't that true of STEM also?
Yeah.
So all these
project-based,
STEMs.
All of those.
I mean,
they are... when you see so many of them, you're really wondering if they just think that's going to help them get a charter.
Right.
One of the schools is a private school now, and under the waiver allowed to private schools that the legislature approved last year, they can ask to come in as a charter school if their racial makeup is the same, is within the same guidelines as their local district, and that school is in Camden, so... And I think we've looked at it, but they seem to be well on guidelines of where they are.
That's the Montessori.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Montessori. Yeah. The Thornwell one, I was at a state board of education meeting, I don't know, probably 10 or 12 or 15 years or so ago, where they were appealing a denial from their local district. Is this still the same Thornwell?
It is.
Okay. Didn't this come up with us one other time, this Thornwell thing?
They never have formally
No, but wasn't there a discussion? I just remember something about this.
Well, I dealt with them when I was, that's where I was superintendent.
Yeah.
So you were there when they applied?
Right.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, maybe you were at the meeting. I don't remember that,
yeah.
But...
No, Thornwell was there, and they changed. Thornwell was a landmark case for charter schools in South Carolina. Prior to that, the charter school law was pretty lenient in terms of the Office of School Facilities. Basically, they just kind of signed off on it. And when they were turned down by the board in District 56, they appealed. And not only did they lose, the law then read, or the precedents in the court case said that all safety and health regulations that a traditional public school had to do, charter schools had to comply with also. So it really did, not only did they lose, they changed it, which was, I think, a good change. I mean, to me, it just makes sense that if you've got health and safety regulations, yeah, that ought to apply to charter schools. We have heard that the person, Norman Dover, who was doing this, is ill, and they probably are going to pull this application too. Isn't that correct?
That wasn't for me, someone else.
I've tried every year. When I was there, I tried to get them to become a charter school in our district. I don't know if you know Thornwell, but it's their campus, their buildings look like Duke. Yeah. They've got beautiful stone buildings. They were a private school at one time. That was the other thing they lost in. They've said that they had closed the charter school. Yeah. At that time, a private school had to be closed for a year. Well, they said that they had disbanded the charter school or the private school, and then we're going to do a charter. Well, all the teachers were the same. The principal was the same. So the court saw through that pretty quickly. And so a number of things wrong. They have a campus with 300 acres, beautiful prime land. I had Clemson lined up to be a partner with them to do research on sweet grass as a fuel alternative. Had everything in place. Their leadership has never been able to make a firm decision on anything. It's not just this. So it's just been sad to see that 300 acres, the buildings and stuff just gradually go down there. All right, any other questions about these? As soon as we, June 2nd, I think is the date they're due, when that comes around, we'll let you know who did apply and make sure you get a copy of the application once we've screened them. Okay. Let's see. There are two quick other things. One is just a handout. Yesterday when I attended the Senate educational committee, the committee meeting started off yesterday with Jim Hodges making a presentation on a committee that he's been chairing along with Wells, I think is his last name, former state treasurer. Is it Greg Wells? Well, the difference was obviously Jim Hodges was a Democrat and Wells is a Republican. So it's a bipartisan committee kind of looking at where South Carolina will be relative to education in 2030. This is a summary of it. If you go to Competing Through Knowledge, their webpage has all of their information. It was a pretty powerful committee put together by these two, again, bipartisan. But I really did it. Betty, I didn't know if you knew of this committee yet, but I thought Transform South Carolina, it would be good information for Transform SC. Absolutely. So I took like two pages of notes listening to them present yesterday, and then I went had Laura. I emailed her from the report to pull it up. The questions afterwards lasted about an hour. So it was really of interest to the Senate subcommittee. So if you want the full report, just Google Competing Through Knowledge, and it's there. Basically, it's saying we don't have the educated staff or population to really fund what's happening in South Carolina. And a perfect example of Volvo moving in and... So we're either going to be importing people from out of state to fill these jobs or from out of country in many cases to fill these jobs, or we better get on the stick and really match up the future with job training and education. So, and the last thing I'll mention, one of the things that did come up yesterday, and I'd heard this was on the radar, and next Wednesday, there is a Senate subcommittee on education. One of the things that they're going to discuss, and I'll be there, is the racial makeup of our charter schools. There is a movement, Senator Pinckney from Charleston and Senator Matthews from Orangeburg have stated that they would be in favor, and I don't want to put words in their mouth, that they're just concerned that we have too many schools that are without outside of the 20% ratio of race, but it's not easy to define that. That is, the law says that the charter schools should be within 20% of the racial makeup of the resident district or the local district. And when we were on the advisory committee, we also said that could be the state, since that is the local district for some of these charter schools. So, but even if you use state or the resident district, there is some concern on the part of at least these two senators. So I think it's going to come up next week. One of the, we have 12 of our 31 schools that are without of the 20% makeup. Of course, when we approve schools, we have no idea what's going to happen. I did meet with a staffer yesterday and from the Senate, and I did say one of the major problems we had, we have, is no transportation. And that's hard to overcome when you're trying to recruit poverty or racial makeup of some of the districts we're in. We also don't get facility money, so we can't really dictate or even guide a school on where they're going to be located. Secondly, or thirdly, is a choice program that we're in. And there are some weird circumstances. Fox Creek is an example. Fox Creek is in Edgefield County, their school district, but they're closer to North Augusta than they are to Edgefield. They're half a mile from the Aiken County line, so where do you match up? Now, Palmetto Scholars is in North Charleston, but over half of their students come from Berkeley and Dorchester. So, again, it's not a cut-and-dry issue, and that's a point I hope to make. But the number one thing will be that if they'll provide transportation, I think we can improve recruiting of minorities. If you have planning and implementation money, that's federal money, you have to prove that you have guidelines, that you're open and accessible. You notice on our performance, that's one of the things we look at is accessibility and equity. Our trend is, as a district and in most of our schools, is that we're increasing the minority population. All of this started when Senator Pinckney from Charleston, the school he was targeting is Low Country Leadership primarily. So that started the conversation. So I just wanted to give you a heads up. We'll let you know how next Wednesday goes with the discussion. Yesterday, Senator Matthews said until he gets a handle on this that he's not going to approve any charter school. He will put an opposition on any charter school legislation coming forward, so that's why I thought it was important enough to mention. And I know Mary Carmichael met with him a little bit after the meeting, so hopefully the understanding is he'll let this be in and of itself and not use this to... for instance, one of the things he said he would be opposed to yesterday is the bill moving forward requiring all of our schools to sign a contractual agreement that they will abide by all ethics laws in South Carolina. So it didn't make sense to me to stop that legislation when we could deal with this totally separate. But anyway, I just want to give you a heads up on that, and I'll certainly will keep you informed on how next Wednesday goes. It should be an interesting meeting.
Isn't there some discussion of the introduction of a bill requiring our schools to...
There was at least a hint that we've heard that Senator Matthews may put forth legislation requiring the closing of schools that don't adhere to the 20% guideline. Right now, Dana and I have talked about this. I'm not sure we have the authority based on that to close schools.
How do you enforce that, Wayne, if the school is engaged in active recruitment efforts and yet they simply don't meet the projected spread demographically? I mean, is it their fault?
Well, we don't think so. As long as you can document, and all of our schools, every one of them, we require, you require, you've mentioned every time as a board, diversity of the group, and we have documented access. That has to be part of their yearly report. So you're right. I don't know how far this will go. I hope, just for example, two of our schools, two of the 12, fall out of guidance relative to minorities. For instance, Lead Academy, and I can tell you Lead Academy is a wonderful school. Academically, you couldn't ask for it. We went to that. Well, they don't match up racially with Greenville because of their minority count.
Right.
So you would be saying one of our top schools that's impacting the minority population in Greenville would be caught up in this too. So hopefully cooler heads will prevail and we can
where the
really,
clock will run out.
Yes. My feeling is this year the clock will run out and then we can really use the fall and the beginning of session next year to really show what we're doing to be proactive relative to racial. But we can't force the issue as Reese was referring to, but it's something we are certainly aware of and pay attention to.
I have always found Cynthia.
Wayne, one thing I was going to mention is I had an interesting conversation with, this is an individual who is no longer a superintendent, but that once upon a time they were a superintendent. And in some charter schools, let's just say hypothetically, there are schools where minority groups are attending voluntarily and it's a minority, what would it be?
Majority
school. And one would presume by virtue of the fact that everybody attends voluntarily, that the organization and the school body would like for it to remain or would like for it to be that way. They don't, you know, and so it's an interesting question, and I'm not exactly sure how you would address it in that particular scenario. But that conversation, that question was raised to me by a former superintendent and sort of scratching our collective heads trying to figure out how you address it, and I don't have any ideas.
Betty, you...
I have had opportunities to deal with Senator Matthews, and he's very reasonable. I think that when he understands or somebody sits down and explains things, I found him to be very reasonable about factual information.
Right.
Well, I have two, Betty, so I think we can.
Yeah, and during the hearing, I know he and I had a dialogue, which was very pleasant and reasonable. But I suggested to Wayne that we go on record supporting any legislation that says they'll close schools that aren't in compliance as long as it applies to every school in the state. Just make it fair.
Well, I hope that
keeps us from being against it.
Yeah,
that's right.
I think once the transportation issue, and when you really sit down and think about it, it's kind of easy to have a knee-jerk reaction.
Right.
But there, it's not an easy answer. And for instance, Connections Academy is one of the schools that kind of falls out of the realm. They have 13% minority, but they have 3,000 students. So if you closed Connections, you would take 300 minority students and do away with their chosen educational system. So again, I would have hoped starting this career some 40 years ago that race would not be
a continued topic,
but obviously it is, and maybe someday we'll move beyond that. But.
It's not only in the realm of education, as recent incidents have repeated.
Okay,
so sadly.
That's it. That's the end of my report.
Okay,
unless there are some questions.
Unless somebody has something they want to bring up.
Now the banquet's tomorrow night, 6:30
6:30
at Seaway.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to be the lone representative of the board for that. So Friday nights have been tough getting. We may have had two or three board members. Molly Spearman is coming, that's I heard. So, and Dr. Zace came last year.
Yeah.
So, and we had great representation from the schools. And we'll announce our Teacher of the Year tomorrow. And we have a rocking chair for the Teacher of the Year. So, so that's worked out well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
See y'all next month. Now, the three of us.
Did you get my email about Jay Blankenship?
Oh, yes, yes. I want to have a sit down.
Oh, 2 hours. And after that meeting.